Hello everyone, this is Griffin and welcome to Flight Sim Edge. And I just wanted to have a few programming notes regarding the last show. I am not a professional podcaster. I don't have any kind of special team here. I'm literally in my living room holding my phone on an app and recording this. And I think it's amazing that so many of you have consistently listened to the program, and I'm humbled by that. I just want to say that the walkthrough that I was going to, going through when I was talking about programming the hat switches for head movement, panning, and the like in the cockpit, that was regarding my CH Products Eclipse Yoke. I talked about on a previous program that my CH Products Eclipse Yoke was not recognized out of the box by Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020, and I had to program every aspect of that yoke, and it was going along with that thought. I wanted to initially do that on the earlier program, but my flight simulator was not working. It was not stable, and I wasn't able to do that, so I did it in the last program. So it was just how to generally program different aspects of it, and what I was doing was programming the camera, in-cockpit camera, and going programming side to side on the left hat switch button and up and down vertical on the right hat switch button. But you can use that same methodology to program just about any system on your yoke. The only one that doesn't seem to be able to work is this comes with a trim wheel, this yoke, and it doesn't seem to be recognized by the flight simulator at all. But I tend to get a little bit carried away because I'm very passionate about this subject matter, and I sometimes lose my trend of thought because there's so many different things that I wanted to cover, because there's so much going on right now that I didn't make things crystal clear as I was going through the show. I also mentioned that there was something that Jay didn't cover on his program, Jay's Two Cents, and that was that he didn't cover how frame rates might change according to the aircraft that you're in. And so he was giving a walkthrough on how to tweak Flight Simulator 2020, and it's very good. The advice on there is very good, and take it to heart and see if it works for you. Some of his tips and tricks did not garner any higher frame rate in my simulator, but it might in yours, and so go ahead and give it a try. But one of the things that he left out that a lot of flight simulator pros will tell you is that you can do that. You can set that all up and get really good frame rates for that particular aircraft. But then when you switch sometimes to a more sophisticated aircraft, like, you know, an airliner, for instance, or even the CRJ, something like that, your frame rates might vary considerably, and you'll still have to go back and make adjustments to the sliders. So it's a good idea to try to find a general sweet spot, but at the same time, I like to try to do is I like to try to find something, a setting or settings that are going to work fairly comparable regardless of the airframe that I'm using. And So sometimes when you tweak things down to that level and you're getting that maximum response for that particular cockpit, airframe, what have you, it might not translate when you switch to a different aircraft. So keep that in mind. And that was something that I wanted to mention in the last show, but I changed subjects so fast that I didn't go back to it. That's what I meant in the last show when I said something that Jay doesn't cover, and then I switched subjects. So that's the programming note on that. That's enough of that stuff. Let's talk about what we're going to talk about this time. And I promised you guys, and I'm going to do it. We're talking about hardware, present and future. This is going to be a two-part program because also we're going to talk about the differences between buying a computer, building a computer, and buying a custom-built computer directly for flight simulation. There's not a lot of companies that do it. And also we're going to hit about buying a custom computer, knowing what you want to make your flight simulator run, and that aspect as well. I have to tell you, I haven't had a custom computer built in a very long time. And there's two ways of doing this. We're going to get on that on the next show. Let's just talk about some of the hardware that's coming out. One of the big things that everyone is talking about is NVIDIA's new 3000 lineup. And I talked about how that the 3070 seems like an absolute deal for us. On all of these, we're going to have to wait and see what certain benchmarks are in regards to the card in comparison to the 20 series and the 10 series. You're not seeing, and you're not going to see, many of the 3000s being compared to the 10 series. Specifically, I'm talking about the 1080 Ti, because that's the hero of the bunch, a card that continued to perform very well through the 20 series lineup. And I think that I fair to say that most people that went out of their way to buy a 1080 Ti, especially when the prices were a little bit elevated during the mining craze, the cryptocurrency mining craze, were not going to switch to the 20 series unless they were a dynamic improvement. And the 2000 lineup was not a dynamic improvement. The 1080 Ti performed consistently very well through that series. In fact, it is almost directly comparable to the RTX 2080. Take away ray tracing, of course, but nobody uses ray tracing. And as far as I know, I read an article in about Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020 during the alpha release time that said we do not use ray tracing. They specifically said that. So any of the cards that are coming out and they're showing you the bells and whistles of ray tracing, understand that's probably not going to affect Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020. I know it doesn't affect X-Plane 11 up at until this time. I don't know about Prepared. I don't believe that it does, but I could be totally and completely wrong. What we're looking for our GPUs to do is to push our frame rates. And so the 3070 is supposed to be twice as fast as the 2080. If you have a 1080 Ti, go ahead and look at the 2080 comparisons, because the 1080 Ti runs so close to a 2080. It's almost the same card, other than the fact that, of course, the 1080 Ti is a GTX, not an RTX, and so it's not going to have ray tracing capabilities, which we just discussed has nothing to do with Microsoft Flight 20, Microsoft 2020. So if you compare the 370s and 380s and the 390, the 390 is a super expensive card. We don't know what any of the FPSs are going to be on these cards in regards to Flight Simulator 2020. As we know, and we've talked about in previous shows, nothing taxes a system like flight simulation does. Nothing. And so you can bring up Crysis, you can bring up Fortnite, any other game you wanna talk about. It's not going to tax the system. And that includes the CPU and the GPU, like flight simulators are going to do it. And that includes X-Plane 11 prepared. Even Flight Simulator 10, FSX. You can have a great system and still be taxed in FSX, believe it or not. It doesn't work like games work, like a system now. A high-end system now, you can go back and look at a video game 5 years from now, 5 years in the past, 3 years or 4 years or 5 years in the past, and it's totally going to cook it. You're going to get frame rates that are probably in excess of 100. That does not translate to flight simulators, because there's so much computing power that's needed, and the way that the software is set up, that is not going to be a direct translation. So you have to keep that in mind. And in my exuberance, the 3070 is supposed to perform almost twice as good as the 2080. Which would mean that it's almost twice as good or more than the 1080 Ti. But that might not necessarily be so in flight simulation. One of the things that we would have to be concerned about if we went the 3070 route is that it only has 8 gigabytes of VRAM. Now, it is GDDR6. Which is a higher RAM platform than the 1080 Ti, which is GDDR5. But is that going to necessarily translate into A, will the flight simulator run faster, FPS, and B, will it run smoother? Will it rather have more memory cache available in its VRAM regardless of the speed, or will the speed of the RAM and the speed of the card be such that the 8 gigabyte is still faster and smoother in comparison to the 11 gigabyte that comes on the 1080 Ti? Those kinds of questions have not been answered, and it's going to be a while before those answers come out. There are some great content creators in the simulation world. I don't know how much they get sponsored materials. The content creators that I've been talking about, saying that this person's in the top 5 content creators or whatever, I'm talking about content creators that are talking about custom computer building and computer hardware. And I know that those like Linus Tech Tips, Jay's program, Jay's 2 cents, Bitwit and Paul's Hardware and others, they get equipment. They get video cards, they get intercoolers, the water coolers, air coolers, I should say, and so cases, LED fans. If it's in a computer, they get a lot of that stuff for free. Gamers Nexus, Steve says that they pretty much buy everything, and Tech Tips is another good content creator that does a lot of comparisons with CPUs and GPUs, and it's a good program. The only problem is that he will talk about he never even mentions flight simulation, and a lot of the specs that he's giving for video games do not necessarily translate into flight simulators. And in fact, often they do not. I have found if you're trying, excuse me, if you're trying to make a general comparison, and it's a crude comparison, it's but it's something is racing simulations, and a lot of the hardware reviewers, when they're showing benchmarks in games, they'll often have a racing simulator. And so if they're comparing video cards, and one video card is getting 30% higher, faster frame rates than another card in a racing simulation, because of a lot of the program dynamics are similar, you know that card is going to perform significantly better in comparison in the flight simulator too. Will it be 30%? I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think it would be somewhere around 15 or 20%. Now, if the card does 100% better in a racing simulator, and I'm not saying that the 37 is going to do 100% better than the 2080 in a racing simulator, but that would be one of the things that we would look at. And so if it does, you know, 25, 30% better in a racing simulator than the 2080, then we might not be celebrating as much as other gamers would be celebrating in the performance difference. If it gets 50 or 60% percent faster in a racing simulator, that's significant. And so that's one of the things that we'll have to take a look at. There are, to get back on what I was saying, there are great content creators when it comes to flight simulators. And I mentioned some of them previously on the show. I mentioned Squirrel. I mentioned UK Sim, and some of the others. Here, let me just go to my YouTube list and see some of the creators that I really like. So Aussie Flight Simmer, he did a great job in the lead up to the release of Flight Simulator 2020. Jeff Ferragamo, I'm sorry, Jeff Favag. I can never pronounce his last name, and I apologize. Favagnano, his last name spelled F-A-V-I-G-N-A-N-O. He does all kinds of simulations, and he does do flight simulators. And he's one of the ones that said that it's not likely he's going to review or talk about X-Plane 11. That was his simulator of choice, and he has moved on to Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020. Q8 Pilot is very good. I just think he's a really nice guy, very humble guy. He did some fantastic reviews in X-Plane 11, very detailed, told you right off the bat, you know, I wouldn't buy this aircraft, or I wouldn't buy this scenery at this price. Sim UK, have I been calling him UK Sim? I apologize. It's Sim UK, Squirrel. Those are the two that I've mentioned. Oh, and Q8 Pilot is working within Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020. I don't think he's fully abandoned X-Plane 11 at this point in time. But he has done Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020 and is continuing to do so. And somebody that also has switched to Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020, he doesn't do a lot of instructional stuff. He has a great channel, and in my opinion, I'm trying to find him, and he has just a phenomenal setup in his house. And where did he go? I just made sure I added him because I wanted to talk to you guys about it, and now I don't see him. Isn't that always the way? So Frugal Sim is also good. FS Elite is also good. Let's see, where is he? Part of it is that I forgot his name. It's something like Home Sim Setup or something like that. Where'd you go, man? I know I added you. Well, I can't seem to find him, and I don't know why. Am I seeing any of his programs? Then I would be able to. I've been listening to a lot of music, so there's a lot of live rock bands. My wife and I enjoy going to concerts, which is something we haven't been able to do, and we really miss that activity. We can't wait till it can start again. And go to some cool concerts, but that has not been the case, obviously, for everybody. It's not Flight Simmer, but it's something like that. And I just don't see him. I'm really sorry. I'll look for him in the next one. He has a house set up. He flew X-Plane 11. Oh, Home Sim Pilot. There he is. And he recently switched to Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020 and bought a lot of gear to do it. I feel bad for a lot of the people that have went out and bought a lot of equipment to be able to run Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020 at higher specs. It's not Microsoft's fault. They didn't know NVIDIA was going to release the 30 cards, you know, literally, you know, Microsoft Flight Simulator is released August 18th, and literally a month to a month and a half later, the new video cards are coming out by NVIDIA, and their price is, you know, much more attractive per performance than the 20 series is. And there are some people that when I was building, I was in the midst of building a system for my best friend, who is a flight simmer nerd just like myself. He's been flying FSX for many years, and he liked X-Plane 11. He thought it was pretty nice. It didn't really motivate him to change his setup. He is definitely a flight sim nerd, don't get me wrong, but he's not flight sim crazy like I am, and probably a lot of you guys are too. And a lot of, and I know that there's a lot of new guys out there that are just trying to find their way through. I hope my somewhat disjointed, gleeful excitement show helped you, some of you guys that might be struggling for the install and getting it to run. I'm going to do an experiment. I ran my flight simulator for hours, literally just had the program running for hours, not in any kind of flight. When I say hours, I mean like 8 to 10 hours. And I turned it off, or exited it, turned it off. And I haven't been back since. Most of the times that I've had issues, I would have a successful encounter on Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020. Everything's fine. I exit the program. And when I re-enter the program, it fatally hangs and I can't get past the load screen. Sorry for yawning. I'm going to go ahead and do that now. One of the things, I wanted to talk about the Intel is it Comet Lake and Rocket Lake? That's the 10th gen and the gen that's going to follow. Not to be confused with the 11 gen they're talking about now. Those are laptops, predominantly portable PCs. The desktop is going to, and that's called Ice Lake, I believe. Rocket Lake is going to be the update to Comet Lake, which is out right now. I would price it. I don't think that Comet Lake is going to give you a huge advantage over the 9th generation. I have an 8th generation chip in my machine right now, an i7-8700, and I'm getting 60 frames. And that's what people are getting on 10th gen chips with 2080 Ti's in there. So, I don't know, but the other thought is that, if you're not going to get an i9 motherboard, and, I'm sorry, if you're not going to get a ninth gen motherboard, and a ninth gen CPU for much cheaper than a 10th gen, go for a 10th gen, because that's Comet Lake, and then Rocket Lake is going to come out, and Rocket Lake is supposed to have some significant improvements from everything that we've seen based on what they're talking about on Ice Lake. Rocket Lake is going to have some of those improvements. I also want to talk about PCI. Everyone's talking about going to the fourth gen PCI versus the third gen. The video cards and Intel is you know going to have a bit of a marketing challenge here. The new video cards, even though they're PCI fourth gen compatible, they are going to be able to run fine on a third gen motherboard. You're not going to see any performance dip. It's not going to, there's a lot of stuff out there that's saying, oh, they're designed for PCI 4. Yes, they'll run on PCI 3, but you're not going to see the same specs on PCI 3 boards. That, from everything that I've read, that is complete and total BS. So don't let that fool you. Don't let that scare you from getting 3000 gen card. Do your own research. Don't take anything I say as gospel, for Christ's sakes. I didn't know about the 3000, and I'll tell you something, I'm glad I'm not liquid rich right now. I'm glad I don't have a lot of liquid assets available to me, because seeing that Oracle computer on Jay's YouTube channel, Jay's 2 cents, spelled J-A-Y-Z, 2 cents, he spells it all out. Because if I had like $4,000 just sitting around and I could burn in a hole in my pocket, and trust me, there was a time in my life where that was more than capable. I was more than capable of being able to do that. I would have called up Oracle right there. I would have been on Oracle online and been picking out the parts and probably ordered it that night. That's how frickin' amazing I thought that system was. And I would be kicking myself in the ass as hard as I can, because the 3000 cards are just going to be that much better than the 20 series, the 2000 cards. And I'll tell you something, there's going to be people that are going to be really, really pissed. But a lot of the content creators, and this is why I watch them, it kind of goes both ways. They say, I wouldn't get a 20 series right now if you have a 1080 Ti. And then every build they show they're building has a 2080 Ti on it. And so and then they go, when the 3000 series comes out, see, we told you not to get the 20. You told us that when the 2000 series first came out. And then you've been building computers with the 2000 series now. And if somebody has only watched the last 3 months of your show, they would be absolutely convinced that that's what they should buy. So even though you watch the content creators and they do give you warnings, like, I wouldn't get this if I have a 1080 Ti. I wouldn't get this card if I have a 1080 Ti. That's that week. And then when they're getting, you know, 2000 series card after 2000 security, MSI starts sending them their card, Asus starts sending them their card, Zotac starts sending them their card. When they do their computer builds, those are the cards they're going to use, because they got them free from the companies because they review hardware and they're popular. And those hardware companies want people to see them building their new PCs and their new builds with those cards. And so they inundate them. And so they just start building the cards. They're not buying the cards. The cards are not theirs. So you're not going to see them building a system and they're saying, you know what, I'm going to use my 1080 Ti card, because if I wouldn't buy a 2080 Ti card right now, the performance is not worth purchasing. That is not the case for them. They don't have to worry about that because they get all their stuff for free. And there's nothing wrong with that. They're great content creators. They teach you a lot about building systems. They teach you a lot about what hardware is currently available. They do make comparisons to older hardware when the new hardware is, the new silicon is released. You still got to keep in mind that these are not people that are purchasing their own equipment. That's the long and the short of it. So keep that in mind. And, you know, they did warn about not getting a 20 series if you have a 1080 Ti. And I saw those videos, but those were about 4, 5, 6 months ago. And looking at that Oracle and computer and seeing how freaking gorgeous it was, I sure as shit probably would have bought it. Now, the thing is if I did buy it at seeing it on Jay's program, I don't know, there's different custom computers, companies that work in different ways. I probably would have called them up and say, look, don't put a graphics card in there now because I'm going to want the 30 series. So they probably would have said, okay. But people that literally bought their computer systems a month ago, maybe even a couple of weeks ago, that went to the store and bought it, went to Best Buy and got a new computer because their computer's 5 years old and they knew it was going to have a tough time running Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020. And sure enough, they don't know a lot about building computers. This isn't an insult at all. And they go on there and they see the ideal is a 2080 Ti, and they're like, or the 2080 actually, they're like, yeah, I'll take one of those. Or and they'll go, well, gee, if that card's good, a 2080 Ti, I think it is a 2080 Ti. What is the requirements? Let's go to Microsoft Simulator 2020, and I'll log in. Let's see if they still have, they have a September 3rd, 2020 development update. That's pretty cool. And they have a patch version is there. That they had the August 27th up there for the longest time, but they do have two added things to the if you're a Microsoft insider. Let's see if they have the purchase. I think this is where I saw the comparison order. And that's not it. That's where they compare additions for purchasing. Let's see. Where they have. Is it this one? Back a little bit. I'm not going to continue this if it... No, that's about the beta. I'm trying to find the requirements. I'll just type that in. System... requirements. There it is, for Flight Simulator 2020. And that's videos. Let's see if we can find an article about it. Okay, ideal spec. GPU was the RTX 2080, not even the RTX 2080 type, but somebody shopping and seeing that and seeing an RTX 2080 might have said, if they have money to burn, let's go ahead and get an RTX 2080 tie. You know, it's that much better than the 2080, so let's get that. And that was a $1,200 to $1,400 card. And even the 2080 is, you know, what was it priced at? I actually forget what it was. Let's go to Amazon and see. RTX... $800, $799, $769, you know, and it goes on from there. That they haven't factored in the price. You know, there's an EVA GeForce RTX 2080 for the win. That is a water cooled card that is $949. The EVGA GeForce RTX 2080 Ti Ultra Gaming is $1,300. So, you know, there's the 2070 that was $597. You're going to be able to get the 3070 for $499, and it runs twice as fast as a 2080. That's the card on the ideal spec in most games. Is it going to run twice as fast in Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020? Probably not. That's probably true for X-Plane 11, and that's probably too true for Prepared 3D. But still, you get what I'm saying, is that somebody could have built a pretty modest system, you know, and spent... $597 on their video card. They couldn't afford the 2080, so they got the 2070. And you know, they couldn't, you know, it's $760 versus $560, and so they got a 2070. And they still paid $60 more, where if they just would have waited to September, they could have got a card that would have had, you know, triple the performance for and still be $60 cheaper. That's significant. And there's a lot of people. I don't know if it's the people that are listening to this program right now, but if you are, I'm sorry. I really am sorry. You totally got burned by a timing coincidence that was horrible, because the flight simulator came out literally a month before NVIDIA announced their new product line. And, you know, that, yes, the game creators knew that the 3000 series was pending and coming, but a lot of people that are getting into simulation now, and they're like, you know what, this looks like a cool hobby, I'm going to spend a few bucks on this. This flight simulator looks amazing. Other flight simulators looked like they were crap, and you know, I'm into visual stuff, and this has finally reached a level where I'm interested in getting into this hobby. They probably got burned. A lot of them got burned. And, you know, it's kind of sad. It mars the release, frankly, of the 2020. I joked around about the Oracle PC on the last show, but now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, looking at the video cards online, and thinking about, you know, where I would have been 7 or 8 years ago, I didn't build my system and stuff like that. I probably would could have made a similar mistake. I definitely could have made a similar mistake 10 years ago. I can tell you that. I definitely could have made a mistake 10 years ago. Maybe not so much 5 or 6 years ago, but 10 years ago, I could have made that mistake. I almost made that mistake, you know, in make-believe land a couple of days ago, because that Oracle computer looked so gorgeous. It looked, you know, so perfect, and it was designed specifically for Flight Simulator 2020, that, you know, if I had money to burn, I'd go buy, I could have ordered it. So it's, I know that people have made, and I'm not even going to call it a mistake, because it's not their fault. It's not Microsoft's fault. It's not NVIDIA's fault. It's just, welcome to 2020. I mean, it just was a convergence of events that some people are really going to be upset. Now, you know, can they go back to Best Buy and say, look, I bought this computer, I didn't know, you know, a month from now they were going to have all these new video cards out, and they were going to be the same price, way more better performers, and the same price, if not cheaper, than the video card I bought in this system. You know, I don't think Best Buy is going to give them much sympathy. I really don't. They might say, hey, we'll give you a discount if you want to buy the 30 series card, but they don't take trade-ins, you know. And even if they did, what would you get for it? $100, $150. So, you know, I don't know anybody that takes trade-ins on computer hardware. There might be some local stores somewhere, but anyway, why get depressed? let me just say this, if you did buy a system and you have a 2000 series card, I have a 1000 series card. I have a 1080 Ti. I'm probably going to get, if everything looks like it's true, a 3070. I usually like to stay on the top tier. Like if I have a 1080 Ti, the next card would be the highest end consumer card that's comparable to a 1080 Ti, but I'm not going to be able to do that. I spent This was a $750. This was a $750 card that I paid $850 for because of the mining craze. And this card was selling for $1,200 on Amazon. And I got the card at the price that I got it because I went to a small custom computer shop in Tampa, told them I was building a flight simulator. They said, we got these RTX cards at MSRP. You know I can sell them for $1,200. I could sell them for $1,000. And I just was straight up. I said, I don't have that kind of money. I said, it's a $750 card. I'll give you $850. You know, you would be making a profit at $750. You're making $100 more profit, and you got 11 of the cards. And that just so if they got 4 or 5, he would have told me to go pound sand. But I had spent a couple of hours walking around his store, talking to him, and, you know, sort of made that sort of hands-on connection, you know, hand shaking hand, that never would happen online, by the way. So online purchasing is not the be-all and end-all. Sometimes you get a much better deal by going out and meeting people and talking to them. And I saved $300 or $400 because of that. That afternoon, I spent time walking around a store. I went to 3 different stores looking for a graphics card. And the next day they got the cards in, I went back, then he emailed me, went back there. And he said, look, dude, you know I can get $1,000 all day long for this card. I could get $1,200 if I sold it on Amazon. And I said, yeah, I know that. I don't have $1,200. I have $850 cash in my pocket right now. And he said, okay, let's do it. And we did it. And I got a 1080 Ti when everyone else, and because of the mining craze, was paying $1,000 more. $1,000 or more for the 1080 Ti. So that's that story. And but if you did, were one of those unfortunate people that just happened to be in that sort of perfect storm, and you have a 2000 series card, and you're like, what now? I can't trade it in. I just bought a brand new computer system. They're going to have the new 3000 series. You're going to fly just fine. You're going to be just fine on Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020. You're definitely going to be fine on X-Plane 11. I don't know much about prepared 3D. You know, on X-Plane 11, when the day that I uninstalled it, I was getting 98 frames per second with the new Vulcan update. So you're going to be fine on Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020. And, you know, maybe, I don't know, you know, maybe if you have a 2080 or a 2080 Ti, you know, and you've had your computer for 6 months, 7 or 8 months, maybe you can get $200 for it on Craigslist, you know, and then, you know, then go out and buy the $500 card, you know, that's still $300 cheaper than a 3070, and it's a good graphics card. Most people don't play Flight Simulator. A 2080 or a 2080 Ti is gonna bust up games for the next 3 years. It just is. You're gonna get, if you're on a 1080p monitor, you're gonna get well over 100 frames per second. If you're on a 1440p monitor, you're gonna get like 85 frames per second. $200 for a gaming card that's going to give you over 100 frames per second on a 1080p monitor, you're probably going to be able to sell that card. And then go ahead and get the $499 card. And you've just made a major upgrade to your system for $300. You know, after you've had 6 months usage of the card that you got. That would be my suggestion. And so it wouldn't be that horrible of a situation. So if you try to get, you know, $400 for the card or something like that, you're not going to sell it. You just sell it for $200. You'll sell it quickly. It's going to be a great deal for somebody that's building a system that does top-end gaming. And you'll be that'll give you a good down payment towards getting the new 3000 series cards, if they live up to expectations. Which, if they do or if they don't, you're going to hear it here on this podcast first, I guarantee you. So so yeah, we went over the hardware, the 10. If you're going to, look at the 9, if they're significantly cheaper, go ahead and get that. That's going to allow you, especially if you end up getting a 3000 series card, that's going to allow you to fly on Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020 at a very high level for years. Okay? Not for 6 months or 8 months, for years. So, not for the number, 4 years, meaning 2-3 years at least. And if the prices are similar, and I'll spec them out, I'll see what there are in the next program, which will be part two to this one. I'll go ahead and spec them out and see what's up. If there is not much of a price difference, then get the 10th gen. Get something with at least 10 or more power relays, so that when the Rocket Lake comes out, you'll be able to get that CPU and have your computer, you know, upgrade with the new CPU, and know that your motherboard is going to be able to take it. Don't get an $80 motherboard. Don't get a $75 motherboard, because when the Rocket Lake comes out, you're not going to be able to upgrade. And you don't have to upgrade right when the ninth gen chips have been out for almost a year and a half. I'm just going to be upgrading now. You're going to be upgrading when the 12th gen chips come out and the new motherboards come out. That's probably when, and Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020 has got some new bell or whistle, and you're going to want a performance boost. That's when you're going to want to get the Rocket Lake chip, and you'll have the motherboard to do it. You won't have to go out and get a new motherboard and rebuild your computer from scratch. So that's why I say do that. If the 9th gen chips are significantly cheaper, then yeah, go ahead and get those, and you're going to be fine for years. Well, we're at the end of this particular episode. There's going to be a part two where we talk about computer builds and stuff like that, and the different ways to get computers, and the advantages and disadvantages of each of those methodologies. Everybody take care. Stay safe. Thank you for listening to my show. And I'll have a new episode out probably within 4 or 5 days of this one. All right. See you soon. Wheels up soon.